Sometimes I wonder if when Joan Rivers finds time to sleep. A partial list of her current projects includes the third season of her reality show, Joan and Melissa, Joan Knows Best, which features a new online talk show called In Bed with Joan, a new comedy DVD called Don't Start With Me, as well as her hit TV show, Fashion Police, which just did a 90-minute special on the Oscars, and she continues to tour with her stand-up shows. It's a miracle she's even found time to visit us again, and it's always a pleasure to welcome her back to our show. Hi, Joan.
It's great to see you. Great to see you as always. I even know where your bathroom is now, because it's like my fourth time on your show or something.
The WMIC bathroom.
Yeah.
Did you notice that we have separate ones for men and women?
No, and it's wonderful. Are you allowed to? Is that PC?
What drives you to always be juggling so many projects at once?
I love the business. And when you're hot, as they say, and I'm hot because the reality show is going so well and Fashion Police is going so well, and people come to you, this is the time to do what you want to do. They don't come to you when you're cold.
Well, why do you think reality shows have become so popular? I mean, I understand for the networks, they're less expensive to produce than scripted shows, but a lot of people watch.
I don't know why. Ours is almost like, ours is, I think, popular, and we're doing very well, thank God. Great numbers. I think ours is funny, because my life is funny and chaotic, and Melissa's life, so we don't have to make up stuff.
So,
you know, make the housewives, they all sit around, and then they yell at each other, and then they go have lunch. That's the extent of those shows.
Well, in this case, you're working with your daughter
on
Joan and Melissa, Joan Knows Best. It's comfortable because there's often tension between mothers and their children.
And I live in her house. I live in her house during the filming. It's wonderful because we're close and we have those wonderful mother-daughter talks that you don't have. You know, and there's also a lot of arguments, two very strong women. And I totally forget it's her house. I really do. I mean, I turn around to her housekeeper and say, we don't do things like that. And she just stares at me like, we? This is not your house, Miss Rivers.
You're just a guest here.
You're just a guest. So, and we can't have makeup sex because of mother-daughter. So it really gets tough.
I can understand that could present problems.
Problem.
Although on the first show of the season, you did wind up talking with somebody.
Leslie.
Who turned out to be a lesbian. You kissed her. And then
was
that scripted?
Because No. You know, at this point in my life, my God, my friends, lesbians, straights, gays, I just did a gay wedding. I just became a minister to do a gay wedding for friends of mine. So I had gone out with Lily Tomlin and Jane, her I don't know if they're married or not, and Jane Lynch and her girlfriend. And it was just one of those evenings. Everyone was so happy. The couples were so happy. And there was this other woman among the other guests who was just lovely, and we chatted and we talked and blah, blah, blah. And I thought, maybe I'm wrong. You know, maybe all these years it was there and I didn't know it was there. So at the end of the evening, I had two glasses of Chardonnay. I really kissed her. And
A serious kiss.
And it wasn't cutesy.
Because kissed me when you came in, but it was
cheek. That was a friend. I know I'm heterosexual. I didn't have to prove
But you were horrified in the show the next day.
Well, then you wake up and you say, what have I done? And this is crazy. And this woman, and what if this woman likes me? You know, and you don't embarrass her. So many things happen.
And it was on TV, too.
And it was on TV. But everything is on TV now with me. I mean, they just follow me around with a camera. I don't even think.
You and Melissa have worked together on a lot of situations, the Red Carpet Oscars show, Celebrity Apprentice, and many others. How do you think, you said that it's created a complicated relationship.
Very.
Then your grandson, Melissa's son Cooper, is also part of the show. Do you ever worry that having his life televised will have a negative effect on him? Because I remember reading that Deborah Padgett never forgave her mother, I don't know about her grandmother, but never forgave her mother for pushing her into show business when she was very young.
Yeah, what a mistake. She could have lived in that tenement all her life. Yeah, what a mistake. She got flush toilets. I love it when these women say that have millions that she married a very rich man beside that. Yeah, I will never forgive my mother for making me a star and giving me a better life. No, I'd rather be in a sixth floor walk up selling hats at nights at Macy's. These women really annoy me.
But
Cooper, just to answer your question, Cooper we're very careful with. If he wants to be in the scene, he is. He wants to walk through it, he doesn't. Absolutely no push.
Well, on the other hand, I'm sure he gets a lot of cred with the kids at school.
Well, when his friends come over, they're in the scene, too. So they're all very happy.
When you're working with non-actors like Cheryl, who, the woman you kissed, do you have to get their okay to broadcast something like that?
Well, they knew they were filming the dinner party. And she
signed a release.
Stevie Wonder would know there were cameras behind us. You know what I mean? When we went out in the street at night, even though she was very relaxed too, you had to see there was a guy following me. So, and we got her release. And she's lovely, by the way. And we're going to use her now because we have become friends. I said, you want to come back for season four? And she's in a lot of season three. We use her in other episodes. She said, I'd love to. How can you not have fun?
So you have filmed all of the season, even though we just saw the first show?
Yeah. All in the, as they say, in the can.
You also go to a pottery class and throw a pot on the wheel, which seems physically impossible given the length of your fingernails.
Yeah, I know. I know.
So did you have any help with that?
No, and it was fun. I have never, but I came out of Brooklyn Ethical Culture School. I am a progressive school kid. And they would say, do you want to paint or do pottery or learn spelling? So which do you think little John Malinsky was in? I was busy pottering, and so I'm used to all that stuff.
There's also a show within the show, your internet talk show,
yes.
In Bed with Joan,
starts
which you interview guests in the bedroom.
Yeah.
Will that show be available online?
Online, and I don't know how to get it. I wanted to do a show where no one tells me, you can't say this, you can't say that, or hurry up. You know, Melissa produces Fashion Police, and we'll do 20 jokes, and I'll pick one. And you get so frustrated, but it's all about time. So I wanted to do a show where if I've got someone, well, like Sarah Silverman is one of the guests.
Do you see her as kind of Joan Rivers
in
the next generation or three generations down?
I see her having the career I would have liked to have. She's going into movies. Mm-hmm. And she's a wonderful, all comedians are wonderful actresses. Because you don't understand, we've repeated the joke you think was brand new 500 times. And she's now starting to do movies. And I think, oh, you're so lucky because she's pretty. And she'll end up probably being a comedic movie star like Tina Fey.
Well, the world has changed, hasn't it?
Yeah.
When you first started working in comedy, who was out there? Phyllis Diller? Lily Tomlin around?
She was at her height and lovely and terrific. But, you know, those days, Lucille Ball. But all these ladies were like clowns, had to be clowns. Lucille Ball was. There were no really great stand-up women except Phyllis.
Did people?
Tony Fields.
Mm-hmm.
Was a high.
Well,
the high
did people try to discourage you? I mean, the late Christopher Hitchens wrote a piece of Vanity Fair called "Why Women Aren't Funny."
Yeah, well, that's his opinion. And most women, if you're really gorgeous, you're not funny. I don't see Heidi Klum cracking a joke.
I think you should worry about making Heidi Klum jokes.
Yeah, I think it should be
the Anti-Defamation League has asked you to apologize for a Heidi Klum
Never.
Joke.
Never. I said, not so much the Heidi Klum, it was what I said, which was on Fashion Police. I said, no German has looked that hot since they were pushing Jews into the oven. Very bad taste, but very funny joke. And that's my Holocaust head. And I just wrote back to the end. It's funny you ask that. I just wrote them back today and said, I don't apologize. I have been doing, you get more people listening and remembering the Holocaust through humor than you get by saying, read this little quiet statement. And no. I do a whole thing in my act at the West Bank on going through the gift shop at Auschwitz. But my husband lost all his family there. Mm-hmm. I am very aware of what the hell took place there.
Well, you often, you can't say certain things here that you can say elsewhere.
Right.
You can say things in your act. You were on Howard Stern this morning.
Yes, darling Howard.
And you could say things there.
I can't say here, but here you say smart things.
Uh-huh. Well, we hope anyway. You mentioned social media. Are you social media savvy? Because you're on Twitter. You're on
very
Facebook.
Very social media savvy. I think it's the whole world is going to be social media.
Are you surprised at how many people your age or even my age are?
Nobody my age really is into it. But I see my grandson. My grandson we're watching the Academy Awards, and he's upstairs on the computer. It's just different.
And now you're doing an internet talk show.
And now I'm doing an internet talk show because I love it, and I love the idea that it's there, and they can pick it up when they want to pick it up. And I just think the whole thing's very exciting.
My guest is Joan Rivers, in case you don't recognize that voice. Let's talk a bit about Fashion Police. You were... that's on the E! Network, right?
E! Network.
And you did a special 90-minute Oscar recap. Yeah. Do you think the Oscars are really more about fashion than film?
Unfortunately, there's certainly... And we did it. Melissa and I were the first ones to do any fashion on the red carpet 15 years ago. Only ones... And the New York Times, by the way, said she shouldn't be asking that question, who you're wearing. Grammatically, it's wrong. Like, I didn't know. Mm-hmm. As I didn't know. All right. I certainly think it's 50% fashion. Look, you're watching, and yeah, we're kind of interested in who did the best, you know.
Do you root for certain films?
I root for films, and I root for performances. And I'm very happy with makeup wins or something, but I don't really care. You know, I'm not saying, God, we've got to have so-and-so for makeup.
So you have your own awards, which are the Best and Worst Dressed Stars. Who did you think was the best dressed star?
Oh, best dressed, I thought, was Jennifer Lawrence. I thought in that white dress, she looked like a movie star. She looked like a Grace Kelly throwback. She looked wonderful.
And then there was the Anne Hathaway debacle.
Well, she looked like an idiot. But that's Prada. But she should know better. Look in the mirror. Take, first thing for anyone going on camera, take a picture and see what it's going to look like on camera.
You were very critical of Helen Hunt, who wore a gown from H&M to the ceremony.
It wasn't fitted well.
Well, do you think she was making a political statement?
I think she got a big check.
A big check from H&M?
Oh, grow up. No, she's wearing an H&M dress and saying, this is from H&M, everybody. And you don't think allegedly money passed hands there?
Well, it probably cost her more than what she wore in many scenes in the movie she was nominated for, Sessions.
Can I use that in my act?
You could use that line.
That's a great line.
Why do you expect stars to wear designer gowns? Every once in a while, I write a good line. Why do you expect stars to wear designer gowns to the Oscars? If someone is a good enough actor to be nominated for an Academy Award, why are they also obligated to show up in a drop-dead gorgeous designer gown?
Because you're a man and you don't get it. These are women, and every woman in this office, I'm sorry, would love to have someone come in and dress you and do your hair and put jewelry on. It's Cinderella going to the ball time. How wonderful.
But we don't have, we don't do this to men. You don't take a microscope to the men that you do to the women, although you did criticize George Clooney's beard.
Oh,
made me
wrong.
Feel very self-conscious.
But you're not a sex symbol. Don't take this personally.
But if with men, it's pretty much comparing one tuxedo to the other, isn't it?
Well, I feel that's why we stopped talking about the men. Because it's so boring.
Well, the media also judge whatever Michelle Obama wears to a public event.
Yeah.
The president just has to wear a dark suit
That's
and a
right.
light blue tie.
That's right. And I feel very sorry for men. I feel sorry for men because you are so constrained. You know, go back to the French court. It was high heels and buckles and jewelry. And it all switched over where in the early 19th century. They started wearing black. Lincoln. How boring was that movie?
Well, I don't want to talk about the movie, but you didn't like the costumes.
I didn't like the movie. I wanted to go to the theater when I was two-thirds of the way in.
But men actually have chosen not to dress up. When I was younger, you went to the theater, you wore a tie,
yes,
wore a
you
suit.
Did.
If you went to a good restaurant,
yes.
you dressed up.
Yes.
Nowadays, even the fanciest restaurants, people show up in jeans and a shirt hanging outside of their pants.
And do you like that? I watch Downton Abbey,
yeah.
and I go... Yes, dinner should be an occasion. We all get together, and it's an occasion. And it's a ritual. I get crazy with people that go to the theater, and they go in flip-flops.
Mm-hmm. And shorts.
And now on the plane, which I understand because you got to take everything off to go through that stupid security. But no one, I don't want to see you sitting next to me in shorts and flip-flops, L.A. to New York, first class. You know what? Look human.
But you're past the age where they ask you to take your shoes off.
No, I'm not. And why not?
75 is the cutoff.
Well, not with me.
Really? Well, you should tell them you're past 75.
And that's stupid, too, because they could have some old grandma there and have a gun to her grandkid's head in the house. That's the stupidest thing I ever heard.
But you're still going out on the road with your stand-up act.
Yeah.
Your schedule just the next few weeks, I looked it over. Live appearances in California, Utah, Texas, Minnesota, Missouri, Nebraska, Wisconsin. And yeah. That's on top of your appearances at the West Bank Cafe when you're in New York?
Yeah, there tonight.
Can you perform the same material in Salt Lake City, Omaha, or Green Bay that you use in New York?
You ask very good questions. And the answer is, and I'm sure everyone tells you that because you do, pretty much. America is very homogenized. We all watch the same TV. We all watch the same internet now, pretty much. And I like to get taken to the edge. Going back to the Auschwitz jokes, I like to shake them up and take them to the edge and remind them and make them think.
And some people get very upset.
That's good. That means I'm cutting edge. That's where I want to be. I don't want to be good old, you know, at the end these comics soften and you go, what happened to them?
But why, I guess you must hear this question all the time. Do you ever think of retiring? You're going to turn 80 this year,
and
there you are going from city to city. Is it because live audiences give you something?
I love it. There's nothing. You've never performed, have you?
Well, I've been on stage, and I do try to get my laughs, except when I'm talking about the Holocaust. By the way,
well, I'll give you some good jokes.
Okay,
and I'll talk about it more because of that. again, touche. There's the energy, you know, that comes from a live audience. There's nothing like it when you do a joke and you're all laughing about the same thing, and you can bring them along to that. It's great. It's great.
And I'm sure you love it. I've been in audiences where there's somebody who gets even the weaker jokes and starts laughing, and then that just brings the whole audience along. Well, and then there are other nights when you really got to work hard.
Oh,
when
yes.
you started, did you have to work harder? Because I suspect people come to see you predisposed to laugh.
When I started, because I played the Catskills. That was the Catskill era still in the 60s where I was getting started.
Did you use Yiddish in your jokes?
No, but I used to have at one place I had a translator. And Miss Rivers has just said, I bombed twice. I bombed in English, then I bombed in Yiddish. But I would start out by saying, I'm going to lecture you tonight about.
Mm-hmm.
So they wouldn't think it was going to be a comedy act.
And then they would get it at some point?
Some nights they didn't. And about every fourth Catskill audience got it, and that made me go on.
But you also learn your trade when you're doing that, and you're not getting the laughs. You can figure out where you can go and where you shouldn't go.
Well, I learned that also. I played strip joints. You know, so I had a very rough 7 years.
Well, Lenny Bruce says he learned everything playing burlesque.
Yeah, everything. Because burlesque, for a man in burlesque, they're waiting for the girls. You got to come out and be twice as smart to make them laugh.
So they think you were going to take off your clothes somewhere down the line?
They were praying I wouldn't. Even then, they were saying, don't bother.
You have a new comedy DVD called Don't Start With Me?
Yeah.
Was that filmed at an appearance?
Filmed at one appearance. They took such a chance. One appearance in Chicago. They were very cheap, the producers. And I said, why don't we do two appearances just in case?
Uh-huh.
And they said, no, we'll get it in one. And we got it in one. That was luck.
Well, you also have to be really on that night.
Get you crazy, though. Get you so nervous.
Do you think your audiences have changed over the years? Because now, as I say, you talk about not being politically correct. There was a time when you might have said certain things and there would have been a huge gasp. Now they say, oh, that's Joan Rivers.
No, they still gasp. And I love it. I'm doing a whole thing on why I'm pro-slavery. If I were mayor of New York.
No. You could become the president of an Emory University.
It did not work for the African Americans, but you don't shelve a great program. There are a lot of people in Haiti that would love to come and live for free.
Joan, I'm not going there. I am not going there. I'm sure we've left out some of the things you've done. Aren't you a judge on Project Runway this season?
Yes. Melissa and I are judges, and they treat it so. They made a sign. You would think we knew who was going to be president ahead of Obama. You know what I'm saying? They made a sign. Don't say who won. You cannot say who won. So, and if you say, we'll sue you for $1 million. I mean, Meanwhile, I forgot the woman's name by the time I walked out of there. But, yeah, it was a lot of fun. It was really a lot of fun.
There is a lot of secrecy in television. I know somebody who did a part on Mad Men for this upcoming season, and he had to sign something saying that he wasn't going to tell anyone, including his mother. He did tell his mother.
Oh, that's so, you know, and come
That's
on.
How I found out.
Yeah, because his mother told you.
Yeah, sure. Yeah, yeah. She's telling everybody.
Hello. My son, I'm so proud. I know, and I understand that to a point, but, you know, you want to say to everybody, it's like all of us, we each think, what do they say? Everyone's a star of their own movie, and they think their show is so important. If you let them know that Sadie Schwartz won on Project Runway, you know, the world will explode. Nobody cares. But, well, I guess people care. But so I said, fine, and we didn't tell.
Now, there's no problem working on all these competing networks. In the old days, if you did a show on NBC, you couldn't do anything on CBS, even a guest spot.
Yeah, but you see, when E! Signed me for Fashion Police, I was ice cold. And they signed me the same year that we signed me for Joan and Melissa, the reality show. I was ice cold, so they didn't think anybody would want me.
Mm-hmm.
Now I'll bet you if I sign a contract, they would say you can't compete.
Do you watch other things like what younger people are doing? Do you watch Girls on HBO?
No, I hate Girls. I just don't want to think that's all they do is sleep around. It really upsets me. Because I was from the, you know, my day, it really meant something before you hopped into bed.
And you just think that all this hooking up is...
I just think, is it
politically incorrect?
Perhaps that's what... I just think, as mayor, that'll be another thing.
Are you running for mayor?
Well, that's why I have my pro-slavery. That's why I have my visit the Auschwitz gift shop. Sure, that's, you know, I have all these things I'm working on.
Well, Ed Koch became mayor.
And I loved
Ed. He developed something like a comedy routine.
I was his beard for about a week. I thought he was a great mayor. I think Bloomberg's a great mayor.
But you don't have to be his beard.
No, he doesn't want me as his beard.
Joan, so what? Tonight you're at the West End Cafe.
West Bank Cafe.
West
yeah.
Bank. That's on 42nd Street.
It doesn't matter. It's sold out.
Oh.
Well, it only holds 100. Uh-huh. It's not like they say you're sold out. You know, you got 12 relatives and the rest fills.
Well, that's we're not going to say that Joan Rivers is a sellout, but...
Well, yes, it is. I shortchanged Stevie Wonder.
How did you do that?
It's a new joke I'm putting in my act. Don't trust me. I even shortchanged Stevie Wonder.
Well, you did say that even he would know that there was a camera, a crew.
Yeah. See, and people get
it. I just let it go.
No, but you know, that's... My mother was blind at the end, so I do blind jokes, and it reminds people how difficult it is to be blind.
Joan Rivers doing lots of different things. We can see her on Fashion Police, In Bed with Joan.
Yeah.
You don't have the guests go into the bed with you.
Yes, the guest goes in bed. And that's,
you get
that's
under
that's
the covers?
The yeah, Sarah yeah. Silverman.
Okay. Well.
But you know when you tell secrets, most of them sit on top of the bed. She wanted to go under the covers.
There's also Joan and Melissa. Joan knows best. And if you're living in Des Moines, Joan will be there sometime in the near future doing stand-up.
Come and say hello.
Thank you so much for being with us again.
I love being with you. Thank you.